Jeremiah up.
We're always trying to keep Claudia a little tame. Sometimes she just starts preaching. She's a graduate of Maranatha School of Ministry and lives with my wife and our family as a daughter in the Lord, and we're just so grateful that she's here, Jad's here. You know, it's been such a hysterical journey coming to Pagosa. I don't know if you know what a terrifying plane ride it is for people that have never been here. Claudia almost threw up this year. There was one year it was so bad, we flew into Albuquerque and drove up because we did not want to take the flight into Durango. And so, sorry, maybe you don't think it's funny, but man, it has been like trying getting here every year. Just us East Coast folks. Yeah, thank God she didn't throw up this year. How we doing tonight? How many of you were able to be here last night? How many newbies tonight? Let's give these guys a round of applause. Again, we want to welcome our live stream audience, those who are watching in the overflow rooms in the lobby. Thanks for joining us tonight. As I prepared weeks in advance for these gatherings and just woke up real early this morning just praying, I felt like we needed to go after some of the deception and some of the need for discernment and understanding in the days that we live in. We began to talk last night about the remnant. I shared my journey through COVID-19 and kind of my stance, a word of encouragement to find your lane in this hour. God is opening up lanes in the body of Christ, encouraging each one of us to find our lanes. But we know that Jesus was also very clear. Many of the apostles were very clear that the last days would be marked by great deception. And I believe one of the greatest gifts that God wants to grant the church in this hour is the gift of distinguishing of spirits, better known as the gift of discernment. I want to talk about the Issachar anointing tonight. I believe that God is going to mark an end time bride, end time messengers with an ability to understand the times and seasons in which we're living. And again, more than just understanding, we've got to know what to do. God wants to raise up solution people. He wants to raise up a prophetic company that can do more than point out problems. They're actually carrying blueprints. They're carrying the answers to what we need. We talked last night, Daniel sees a vision of a demonic swirl, and then it says he kept looking. I want to encourage us tonight as we begin to talk about deception and the need for discernment and Issachar anointing that God is releasing in the earth to keep on looking. Is that okay tonight? How many of you are excited? All right, let's pray. Jesus, we exalt you. We thank you that your word says that you're enthroned upon the praises of your people. Lord, we gave you praise tonight, but we thank you that praise is a weapon, it's a lifestyle. Lord, we continue to lift you high in this place. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is life. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and magnify Jesus in this place. God, we set our affections, our hope, our desires upon the Son of Man. God, we ask that you would break the power of deception in America. God, we ask that blinders, that scales would be removed from our eyes. Lord, we come against ideologies and constructs that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Lord, I ask for a spirit of breakthrough, a spirit of deliverance to be loosed in this room tonight and in this generation. And everybody said, amen. I want to look at a couple of scriptures as we get started surrounding deception. What did Jesus and the apostles warn us about concerning these last days? Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, then many false prophets will rise up and they will deceive many. When are the false prophets going to stop prophesying in America? Are you ready? When we stop feeding them. It's a real interesting conversation to have with people, especially in America, about our contribution as the body of Christ to false prophets and teachers. How we as the body have contributed to their ministries and their success. How many of you know Dutch Sheets? A trusted father in the body of Christ. Here's his take on our low levels of discernment in the body. This might shock you. This is his confession. We, the leaders of the charismatic community, have operated in extremely low levels of discernment. Quite frankly, we don't even try to discern. Wow. One of the leading apostles and charismatic voices in all of America is confessing on behalf of church leadership, we don't even try to discern. We assume a person's credibility based on gifts, charisma, the size of their ministry or church, whether they can prophesy or work a miracle. By the way, he says, miracles and signs are intended to validate God and his message, not the messenger. Sometimes they validate the assignment on an individual, but never the person's character or integrity. We leaders in the church have become no different than the world around us in our standards for measuring success and greatness. This has contributed to the body of Christ giving millions of dollars to undeserving individuals. It has allowed people living in sin to become influential, to lead movements, allowing them influence all the way to the White House. Through our lack of discernment, we built their stages and gave them their platforms. We have been gullible beyond words. Gullible leaders produce gullible sheep. When a spiritual leader we're connected with violates trust, is exposed for immorality, or falls below other accepted standards of behavior, it does not exonerate us simply to say we don't condone such behavior. Those we lead trust us to let them know whom to trust. We have failed them miserably in this regard. For this lack of discernment and for employing and passing on inappropriate standards of judgment, I, Dutch Sheets, repent to the Lord and ask forgiveness from the body of Christ. God is going to raise up an end time church. God is raising up a pure and a spotless bride. But you and I are going to have to ask ourselves, what are we hungry for? Because appetite dictates the direction of our lives. What am I looking for in leaders? What am I currently searching for in the body of Christ? When we talk about a pure and a spotless bride, do we value character and integrity? Do we value healthy marriage and family, or are we just looking for the next gifted performer and don't really care about their secret place life? Quiet in here. I guess I'll just keep reading the Bible. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with hot irons. 2 John 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses, and underline this, and does not abide in the doctrines of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. How do we, as the bride, primarily avoid deception in the last days? We love the truth and we abide in the doctrines of Christ. I trumpeted it last night and I want to prophesy it to you again. The greatest need in these last days is a vision of Jesus Christ. He is inviting an end time army to become wholly devoted to his son Jesus. He's going to raise up prophets and teachers, apostles and evangelists who care more about the ministry of Jesus Christ than their influence on Facebook. What are you hungry for tonight? Are you hungry for pure and simple devotion to Jesus? Or are your eyes searching the earth looking for the next, latest, and greatest? Because when we talk about the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist spirit, when we talk about false prophets and teachers, many people are looking for a man or woman that looks like a devil and has horns, so that we can easily see who's in the faith and who's not, who is false and who is true. Anybody ever heard of Mike Bickle? He's an all right guy. Let's hear his take. He says, do not think of false prophets as only cult leaders and crazy eccentric people with bizarre religious ideas. I believe some of the most dangerous false prophets in the last days will be popular social reformers and media personalities who are dignified, cool, caring, intelligent, and well-spoken. They will be very persuasive in their social commentary and their call for new values and perspective on social and sexual issues. They will come across as logical and even loving to those not grounded in God's word. They will seek to rescue people and society from old-fashioned values and seek to establish a new normal. Sounds awfully familiar. The enemy is raising up new popular voices to spearhead counterfeit justice movements. Ever heard of the BLM? They will use the biblical terms justice, unity, and love, but not in the same way the Bible defines them. These false voices will lead many people away from Jesus, the God of the Bible. How are we doing tonight? There is an all-out war in America concerning good and evil. There is a fight in America concerning that which is truth and that which is false. I even just today in my Bible study reading just came up with 16 signs of the last days. All 16 are happening right now in the earth. How should you and I, as the bride of Christ, position ourselves in such a way that we're abiding in the doctrines of Christ and we're not wasting time listening to a narrative that's anti-Christ? I've been involved in a lot of controversy lately. I know you can't imagine that. I believe that the lying media is the most anointed false prophet in the earth today. We are looking for a man, and I'm telling you, it's an entity. You can look on your cell phone. Who has an iPhone? You can look on your iPhone and look at something called screen time. And it will tell you just how much time we're spending on this phone. If we are submitting our spirits to a narrative in the media that's anti-Christ in nature, what do you think is going to be produced in our lives? Well, brother, I'm not under the influence of a false prophet. I go to a good Bible-believing church. I love my wife. I love my family. Yeah, but your screen time says you're spending 8 hours a day scrolling on social media, and you're under the influence of a false prophet. Stepping on toes tonight. Jeremiah, he makes this declaration in chapter 23 when he begins to confront the false prophets in his day. He says that there are prophets that are prophesying that God never spoke to. He says that there are prophets that are traveling that God never sent. And then he draws the line in the sand and he says, but who has stood in the council of Fox News? Who has stood in the council of CNN? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that apparently have the know-all to what's really happening in America. And you know, the scary thing is no one's mentioning any scriptures. Watch this video. Check this out. It's not a pandemic, it's a plandemic. And on and on and on. Am I the only guy that gets the videos and gets the chains and gets the... I mean, we have created a culture in America where seriously, if you want to, you could spend 10 hours a day online being blown back and forth by every wind of doctrine, every opinion, every narrative, everyone's right. They've got the know-all and no one's preaching this. Well, we're looking for the prophets to give us the next dream. You don't need the prophets with the next dream. It's all in here. Quiet in here. So when we start to talk about the need to discern, the need to distinguish, to judge, to question, to categorize. When we talk about, well, brother, how do I really line my life up with the truth? Step one is hit delete on how much time we're spending online. There's no way that we can accurately discern what God is saying to a generation when we're spending more time underneath the influence of a false prophet than we are the Word of God. You guys look lovely tonight. All right, let's close our eyes. Father, I know that you're calling out to a generation asking us to come back to the ancient past. Fighting that lie that says if you spend less time online, you're going to be missing out. Lord, I just pray that you would confront that thing in us that craves what's going on out there, and we're bankrupt on what's going on around the throne room. God, I ask that you would release the gift of discernment in your body. Lord, that's directly coming from the Word of God. In Jesus' name. How many of you know that the Word of God is alive? It's active. It's sharper than any two double-edged sword. It has the ability to penetrate, to confront the lies we believe about God and about ourselves. Isn't it interesting? Have you ever gotten in a fight with your spouse? I guess it's just me. And you realize that the common denominator was lack of time spent in here. You're just having one of those days and you're like, man, I've got to get back into the Word of God. I want to encourage us in this generation to live a life that's rooted and grounded in the Word of God and not our feelings. How we feel is never an indicator of truth. Your feelings are not an indicator of whether something is true or not. God wants to get a generation seeking the truth, an end time army in the earth that are going to get their counsel, their ability to discern good and evil. They're going to get it from spending time in God's presence and being rooted and grounded in the God of the Bible. In the Old Testament, there was a tribe called the Sons of Issachar. Many of us are familiar with the 12 tribes of Israel, and each of them had a special inheritance from the Lord. The sons and daughters of Issachar, it says in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, that they had understanding into the times. And what we're going to find out is one of the main ways they had understanding into the times is that they were students of the Torah. They didn't get their intel from the culture around them. They spent their time studying the law, rooted and grounded in who God really was. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in the Gospels for being those who could accurately determine weather patterns, but they had no discernment concerning the coming of the Son of Man. I want to encourage you. I believe with all my heart that God is raising up end time messengers. He's raising up a remnant in the earth that are going to function in the anointing of Issachar at unprecedented levels. They are going to rightly interpret what's happening in the earth, and they're going to come up with solutions. They're going to come up with creative ways how to thrive in the earth. Now is the time to arise and shine, not run and hide. Could you imagine how different the church in America would have looked like if we were functioning in this anointing back in March? Yeah. Write this down. Failure to accurately interpret the signs of the times always leads to a culture of prayerlessness. Failure to accurately discern the times, the signs of the times, always leads to a culture of prayerlessness. What was our read on COVID-19? Why aren't the prayer meetings skyrocketing in the church? You know why? We failed to accurately interpret one of the signs of the times. See, when you embrace an Issachar anointing, you're going to begin to see things that the culture around you doesn't see. Things are going to happen in your family and in your marriage and in your city and in a nation. And because you're seeing and operating, you're discerning rightly, your actions are going to separate you from the world. I've been in meetings where they preach on the Issachar anointing and everybody gets all riled and fired up, but I oftentimes don't hear the price that's going to come if you start functioning in this anointing. Because when you start operating in an Issachar anointing, you've got to get off the fence. You've got to start embracing an urgency, a sobriety, and a clarity. When you start functioning in this anointing, again, there's an urgency, there's a sobriety, and there's a clarity that you begin to function in that will separate you from a world that's confused, that's lethargic, and that's trying to figure out what in the world's going on. Why are we so shocked about COVID-19? Why is the church so surprised trying to figure out what's happening? It's like, have we been reading our Bible? To a church functioning in an Issachar anointing, when COVID-19 comes down the pipe, we get excited. Hello. Because we're accurately interpreting the signs of the time, saying, now is the time to arise and shine. Can you imagine how many people are going to be strangled with the spirit of fear? And now is the time to mobilize the church to good works and love. I mean, folks, we should be overtaking culture right now. There should be mass evangelism in stores and on street corners. We should be preaching the hope that's only found in Jesus Christ. There are more suicides in the state of Tennessee during COVID-19 than COVID-19 deaths. And I could go on and on and on, giving us more statistics of, folks, we've got to wake up. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Gross darkness is covering the earth, but God is looking for an end time army functioning in the anointing of Issachar who will understand what's happening and know what we must do. My baby's jumping. All right, put your hand over your belly. You were born for more. You've got supernatural DNA woven on the inside of you when you got born again. You were called to stand out, not fit in. We are called to operate in a completely opposite spirit than the world around us. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. What's the end time church going to look like when we get free of the fear of death? Which the writer of the Hebrews says, to fear death is to subject yourself to a life of bondage. I don't have to fear dying. I've already died. I died with Christ. Hello? I know, but when you start going down this route, cuckoo, cuckoo, this brother has lost his mind. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died for more than 3 songs and a couple of bucks on Sunday. This is the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, who is coming, and he will have his full inheritance in the earth. I want to encourage you to get free from the fear of death. I want to encourage you to get free from the opinions of men. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I just continue to believe that God is calling forth a glorious, spotless bride who's going to function in an uncanny prophetic anointing. And when they rise in the earth, folks, why Fox and why CNN? Where is the Christian gazillionaire who has a biblical value television system? Why are, I mean, I could just ask these questions. Why are, where are we? And again, and I want to encourage you before you put the finger somewhere else, what are you doing about it? How are you having a significant impact in the culture around you? How are we being witnesses to the gospel? Are we taking opportunities? I've found that, you know, rough plane rides make the easiest salvation encounters. I mean, I've had like some 1.6 second salvations. I mean, it's bumpy, it's crazy, they're wilding out, and I'm just smiling. And what a, I just want to lean into the heart of God. What an opportunity that we have right now in the earth. My concern is that we're missing it. And I don't know, we don't care, we're busy, we're distracted, you fill in the blank, but all I can do as a faithful witness and messenger of the gospel is to tell you that there's more. How are we doing tonight? Hallelujah. Understanding into the times to know what Israel must do. God, we're asking that you would raise up sons and daughters of Issachar in America, the nations of the earth that will understand the signs in the heavens, the signs on the earth, and they will know how to act accordingly. It's amazing how susceptible people are to leadership. One of the dumbest Nike t-shirts they ever made was, it says on the front, not a role model. Unfortunately, all of us are role models. There's always someone watching. I mean, have you had a chance to reach out to your neighbors during this time? Opportunities all around us. Opportunities all around us. A glorious, spotless bride. But as I said, we want to fight about masks. Like God is looking for a bride to, and we're just busy fighting one another and attacking one another and going to war at one another, and the devil's probably like, man, this is great, this is awesome. Fighting with one another, and we're missing the opportunities that are around us. If you're here tonight, say amen. Amen. Let's look a little deeper at Issachar if you're taking some notes. Issachar was the ninth son of Jacob. The sons of Issachar, as I mentioned, they were known as valiant men who stood with their brothers in war. If you're taking notes, I just want to speak this out. I want to give 4 or 5 points, earmarks of what sets the sons and daughters of Issachar apart, and then we're going to pray. Sons and daughters of Issachar, number one, they were anointed with a love for the word of God. We learn from the Talmudic writings and Jewish scholars that the sons and daughters of Issachar were considered experts in the law. This tribe of scholars studied the Torah intently and could advise leaders about what the Word of God had to say regarding particular issues about going into battle. I want to just make this super plain. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, prophetic people are typically not associated with the Word of God. It's all about dreams and visions and angels and the supernatural. When I'm talking about a strong Issachar anointing, what I mean by that is these are men and women who eat the scroll. In other words, they love the Word of God. And where they get their prophetic spirit and their urgency is from the Word of God. So if you ask someone functioning, if Donald Trump, the president of the United States, maybe probably the most powerful man in the world, if he asked a son or daughter of Issachar, what should a nation in crisis do? They're going to answer him according to the Word of God. What should a nation in crisis do according to the Word of God? It's called fast, repent, and pray. There is no other solution in the Word of God for a nation that has shed the blood of more than 60 million babies. Their blood cries out from the ground. We live in a nation that now ranks number one in the world for sex trafficking. If the president of the United States asks someone functioning in it, what must we do? They're not going to say vote Republican. They're not going to say become a Trump worshiper. Politicians cannot solve spiritual issues. It does not matter if he wins in 2020. He is simply buying us time for when judgment comes to this nation. God is going to judge America for her sins. How we doing? I get it. This stuff doesn't sell. It doesn't draw crowds. But God has never looked for sales, and he's never looked for crowds. But he's always looking for a remnant. He's always seeking a people who are wholeheartedly obedient to him. I want to encourage you tonight, when we begin to ask God, release the Issachar anointing. Part of what we're praying for is, God, give me a love for your word. God, I'm asking that you would help me to understand that when a city or a nation or a person is in crisis, the best thing that we can offer them is the eternal Word of God that stands forever. Number one, the sons and daughters of Issachar were anointed with a love for the Word of God. Secondly, they were anointed for intercession. When we talk about God releasing an Issachar anointing in this generation, it is an invitation to engage the Spirit of God in intercession and prayer. Before Jacob died, he blessed each of his sons prophetically, and he imparted an understanding into the anointing that they would carry. Listen to what he says about Issachar. Issachar is a strong donkey. Any donkeys in the room tonight? Lying down between two burdens, he saw that rest was good and that the land was plentiful, and bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Genesis 49, 14 through 15. This picture is not glamorous, but it's full of revelation. It's a picture of those called to bear a burden in the spirit as a watchman and intercessor. The donkey is a symbol of intercession, strength, and humility. Issachar intercessors are not lifted up in pride. They bow their shoulder to bear the burden of God and a nation. God is going to release an Issachar anointing upon the end time church. And he is going to restore a love for the word of God, the ancient past, back to the church again. Evidently, if you look in the streets, our three steps to a better marriage and our five steps to a better life aren't working. I just don't see how we can go back to business as usual in the church. How is a generation raging in the streets and we continue to believe that our church programs are going to work? They are not going to work in a nation in crisis. What we need is preachers and saints with a backbone. We need a generation who believes in biblical values, and we're not getting off of them. If you're with me tonight, just say amen. Amen. The battle is going to continue to rage in this culture. Deception is going to abound. New ideas and ways to reach the lost that are not biblical are going to fill up the culture. But God looks for those who love his word more than they love the opinions of men. Will we be faithful to preach the word in an hour of crisis? Secondly, when God begins to release an Issachar anointing, it's the anointing of a donkey. The two things that stick out to me, two stories about a donkey. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. What if it's not about becoming the next great influencer in America? What if God is looking for a generation of donkeys that he can ride upon into cities in America? What kind of cry would this be in Pagosa? Lord, we just want to be a bunch of donkeys. Nameless, faceless. We don't care who gets the mic. We don't care about who gets the glory. We just want to bear the burden of God in a generation. Lord, I'm a prophet and I don't care about growing my ministry. I just want to be one that has a burden. Where is the burden of God in a generation? Where has the travail gone? Where has the spirit of intercession gone that stays on you for days? Saints, there's an alarm that's sounding in America. Will we respond? The answer is not, well, brother, I go to church. That's not going to cut it in these last days. Do you have an ear for the Spirit? Do you have an eye that sees? Lord, I need a burden for my family. Lord, I need a burden for my city. Lord, I need a burden that helps me to care for more than me, myself, and I. God's looking for donkeys to ride upon. Remember the story of Balaam, the big, well-known prophet? I'm going to prophesy to you. Remember who had the word of the Lord in that story? The donkey. Folks, I want you to hear me. Many of your favorite preachers and celebrities of the past, they don't have the word of the Lord. You're searching Elijah List and Charisma News, and you're getting on all these websites looking for your favorite Balaam preachers that have the word of the Lord, and I'm telling you, you're going to miss it right now when Balaam starts talking. When a generation who's been faithful in the place of prayer and fasting, when they start emerging out of the wilderness and trumpeting the word of the Lord, you're going to miss it because they're not on your playlist. Let the donkeys rise. I've been contending in the place of prayer. God, give us a generation who doesn't seek popularity or fame. They've prophesied it for years, the nameless, faceless generation. When we begin to get a burden from the Lord, He's going to anoint a generation in intercession. Hallelujah. Number three, He's going to anoint them with humility. I touched on this a little bit. I believe that probably the hallmark, the greatest quality that Jesus Christ walked with on the earth was humility and meekness. I believe that this anointing of Issachar is going to bring with it great authority, but it's going to be derived from lowering ourselves in the place of prayer and asking God to anoint us from on high. Number four, the sons and daughters of Issachar are anointed for war. The mouth of Issachar intercessors have the power to slay many enemies as they wield the sword of the word of the Lord. God is calling a generation of Issachar intercessors who are willing to bear the burden to prepare the way for His return. God is looking for a generation who is willing to run to the battle, not run away from it. God is looking for an end time army who is going to rise in the earth with the word of God in their mouth, with a burden that can only come from the place of prayer, who is ready to engage in the battle and who will walk in deep humility. Are you willing and are you ready? Number five, finally, this might throw some of you for a loop. The sons and daughters of Issachar are anointed for prosperity. Here's what we're seeing as we travel the nation, especially in the body of Christ. What we are witnessing is many small churches who have been faithful to the Lord for years and struggled, now have more finances than they know what to do with. We are meeting faithful messengers all over the United States who have been poor for years, wondering why the televangelists have all the finances. And what we are seeing is that God in this hour is rewarding a people who will fully obey Him. Some of us need the spirit of poverty broken off of our lives, where we feel like we have to apologize for the blessing of God. It says here in Deuteronomy 33, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. They shall call the peoples to the mountain. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall partake of the abundance of the seas and treasures hidden in the sand." I'm going to prophesy to you that I believe not only spiritual, but natural blessing is going to mark an end time army in the earth, where God is storing up the wealth of the wicked in storehouses for the righteous. I believe that God is going to finance an end time army to do great exploits in His kingdom. I felt even praying tonight, some of you are here to come out from underneath a poverty lacking spirit. God is going to open up supernatural finance even in the spirit tonight. But I hope you're sold out. I sure hope you're not walking by all these opportunities that we're speaking of tonight. What a time to be alive. I don't know what your prayer life has looked like, but for me, the last 90 days, I've been getting in the place of prayer just with thanksgiving, saying, "Oh my Lord, I cannot believe that I'm alive right now on the earth." I've been getting down on my knees. And again, I know this is crazy, because a lot of people, "Oh God, send the rapture. Get me out of here. Lord, get me into 2021. Just make it stop." And I'm sitting in here saying, "Lord, we were born for such a time as this. What an honor. What a privilege. Oh my goodness. Fear? I have nothing to fear. I have the hope of the world living down on the inside of me, and the opportunity is mine to share Him with the world around me." How we doing? How many of you feel a little bit of a fire in your belly tonight? "Oh God, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth laborers into the harvest fields. Oh God, I'm asking that You would release this anointing in a generation. Lord, literally, when people are jumping high, we're going low. When people are fearing, we're operating in love. This is the kind of stuff that is meant to attract the world to us." It was why Nebuchadnezzar, I bet you he ran to that lion's den in a record time. I bet you he didn't sleep all night. God. God seeks a people. He seeks a remnant. He's calling forth an end time army radically devoted to Him that refuse to bow. I don't know what you're bowing to tonight. I don't know if it's poverty and lack. I don't know if it's the fear of death. I don't know if it's regret. But I want to encourage you tonight that there's an anointing that God has available for each and every one of us And I promise you, it doesn't come from Jeremiah laying hands on you. It comes from heaven above. I'm just declaring to you what he wants to do in a generation. All you've got to do is reach up and grab hold of it. Can we just stretch out our hands tonight? Let's just take about 30 seconds and thank him. Lord, I thank you that I have breath in my lungs. I thank you that I'm alive in 2020. Come on, as we lift up thanksgiving and gratefulness, it cancels entitlement and mumbling and complaining and negativity. Just take about 30 seconds. Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you died for me. Lord, I thank you that you're sitting. Lord, I'm going to be quiet, but just thank him for about 30 seconds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just let it erupt out of you. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord in this place. God, you are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Lord, we thank you that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Just whatever, Lord, we bless your name. We worship you. We thank you for what you're doing in this nation and the nations of the earth. Jesus, we thank you that you're going to have your full inheritance. Come on, I said last night, it's time for the church to win back the narrative. Jesus Christ is King. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just 10 more seconds. Come on, he's teaching us how to live a lifestyle of praise. All the glory, all the honor. We're rightly aligning our steps right now. Positioning ourselves for blessing. Come on, we're flushing out the media. Get up from out of that spirit. I just feel like the Lord right now is confronting many of us. Stop becoming drunk on the media. Stop becoming drunk on the lies of the culture. Stop being more loyal to political parties than the Son of Man. God, I'm asking that you would wake us up tonight. Lord, I'm asking that you would deliver the church from inferior lovers and desires. If you have a prayer language, just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's just a way to flush things out. As lies come, cast them down. As sins come up, confess them. Come on, we're going to leave tonight lighter than when we came in. Jesus. Oh, rabashandarababasikia, rabashandarabashikia. Come on, we bind the spirit of fear in this room. I command anxiety to be gone from your life. A spirit of depression, we command you to go by the blood and authority of Jesus. Come on, just take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Jesus Christ. Oh, rabashandarabasaka rabashondarabasikia rabah. Come on, we have the blessed hope. His name is Jesus. Is he alive or not? Is he returning or not? Is he king or not? These temporary afflictions are only storing up for us the weight of eternal glory. Come on, saints, come up higher. Come up higher. There's more than an American dream. There's more than playing house. There's more than Netflix and the internet. There's one who sits on the throne. He's worthy of all our praise. The four living creatures and the 24 elders are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." He's not pacing the floors of heaven, anxious about what's happening with Corona. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God, catch a generation up in your throne room. God, raise up messengers. Raise up musicians and singers that just want to sing about God. Just two more minutes. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your name in this place. Lord, we say that there's none like you. God of the heavens, God of the universe, you hung the stars in the sky. The heavens declare your handiwork, God. Come on, just give him praise tonight. Give him glory tonight and honor. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, raise up sons and daughters of Issachar, God, knowing the signs of the times and what we must do. There's more. Just keep hearing it like I heard last night. Now is not the time to check out. Now is the time to check in. God is speaking to his church all over the earth. Now is not the time to veg. Now is not the time to check out and wait till Corona's over. God is looking for an end time army and he wants you in it. It's time to check in. I just feel like we're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost for about two more minutes. If you have your prayer language, I want you to just lift up your voice. Let's just lift up our voice. We're stirring ourselves up in our most holy faith. We're just exercising a prayer language tonight. God will give us the interpretation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. God, we ask, let light shine in this room tonight. God, come and mark messengers in this room. Jesus, Jesus, King of glory, come on in. Open up the gates of Pagosa. Open up the gates of the West. Come on in. Lord, you're welcome in our nation. You're welcome in our state. King of glory, come on in. Come and flood this nation with light, God. Let darkness be exposed. Let everything that can be shaken, let it be shaken, O God. Raise up burning ones, God. There's more than goosebumps. There's more than that was a good message. God wants to brand us. He wants to mark us for eternal glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. For such a time as this, seize the moment, seize the day. Wake up, church in America. Now's not the time to cancel church. Now's not the time to be quiet. Now's not the time to put it in cruise control. Come on, it feels good in here tonight. His presence is here with us, speaking to us, stirring us. I believe God right now is showing many of us what to do, where to go, who to pray for, how to make adjustments, course corrections. Feel that same thing I felt last night. We cannot concede the rest of 2020. There's some kind of spirit at large in the church that is conceding the next 6 months to the devil. Feel this so strongly in my spirit. God is looking for a bride. He's looking for a generation that will fight for the calendar, that will fight for the time, the purposes, the will of God being made manifest in the church. Some of you are going to begin to feel a burden, a prayer assignment. How many of you just feel the urgency of the hour, critical days that we're living in? One of my prayers right now is, Lord, I just want in. Lord, I don't want to miss out. I've just been praying these just short prayers. Lord, I want in. Lord, if you're doing something in my city, my town, and my name, I don't pass me by, God. Just feel led to even just share this testimony about racial reconciliation. You know, some of these issues that are going on in our nation, you just don't know how to get involved in. I went into a furniture store. We just moved to Charlotte. There was an African-American family that was trying to buy mattresses and beds for their family, a couple of small kids, and their card kept getting declined. And I'm just sitting there in line, and again, I'm just being transparent. My wife and I in the secret place, we're literally just praying, Lord, we want in. Whatever, we want in. And literally, I don't know if you've ever done something, it's like it came out of me before I could logically think about what I did. I'll pay for it. The guy behind the counter says back, do you know how much money that is? And I said, yeah, I don't care. And immediately the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, I want you to sow into racial reconciliation on the first day that you're in Charlotte. It's the very first day that we moved there. I want you to sow a seed into the ground to break up the division in Charlotte. I'm telling you, it was like mattress firm. The atmosphere went whew, and all of a sudden, it was like the Spirit of God descended in that place. And they started crying and literally said to me, we have hatred in our heart toward white people. I mean, it was just, just one seed that was sown opened up a conversation. I'm telling you, the guy, just out of the blue, he says, I mean, literally, this is happening. I'm Baptist. What? It's like a defense, like I'm Baptist. And I'm like, okay, bro, you're Baptist. But obviously he was feeling the Holy Ghost. I think that's why he said it. God orchestrates just this something that's happening. I just feel stirred to share. Some of you, just knock on the doors. Just pray the prayers. Just believe that you'll be at the right place at the right time. And if you pray the prayers of faith, God will orchestrate events around you that will give you an opportunity to be an agent of change in the culture. I had to go back to the same mattress firm 3 weeks later. And the guy, I walk in the door and the Baptist guy runs up to me and says, I've been looking for you. He said, I went to my group and I told them what happened. And we've been following your ministry online. And he's like, we're believers. I go, believers in what? He's like, the power of God. That God is at work today, that God is alive today, that he's active today. I'm just sharing something practical, something tangible. A lot of people say, well, brother, awesome. We lifted up our voices. I encourage you, lift up your voice, but seek practical ways of, Lord, I want to function in this. I want to operate in this. Is that okay? So let me just pray over us. God, I just ask that you would unlock every door and every window. Lord, that you would remove stumbling blocks from our path. Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name, it doesn't matter who it is, how much it is. God, in Jesus' name, put us at the right place at the right time. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want in. God, I want in. Don't pass me by. Lord, I want in. Oh, there's so much joy that's available tonight. It's so exciting. Christianity was meant to be an adventure.